Good morning. It is Sunday, July the 7th, and this is Ask the Mayor. I'm Chris Duffy, joined as always by Mayor Patrick Taylor. And Mayor Taylor, very busy week now, somewhat behind us with the 4th of July holiday.
And let me just tell you, Chris, I'm in recovery mode after running the Peachtree Road Race. And this is a normal thing. After a big race like that, it takes me several days of rest just to kind of get my energy back from such a active event.
I can imagine. If folks thought the town was very busy, well, they weren't mistaken. And if the town seems busier these days than maybe in years past, there could be at least one culprit, and that would be Airbnb. It certainly lowered the barriers to entry to spending time in Highlands because you don't need to necessarily rent a house for a week or own a house up here or a property up here. So folks can come in on these long weekends, spend a little bit of time here and enjoy everything the town has to offer. But there's a fair bit of controversy around Airbnb. Recently, some activity on the county level on occupancy taxes and how to distribute that, because Airbnb kind of plays some of their business very close to the vest.
That is correct. Airbnb collects the room occupancy tax that is generated from those short-term rentals. And what they've been doing, they just really keep no accurate record of exactly where the tax comes from. For example, if a Airbnb's, let's say, Pinecrest here in Highlands, they don't identify that when they send the money to the county. So the county had no way of knowing where the money was coming from, the location. So the county came up with, I think, a very fair solution to distributing that tax. And that is, they looked at the room occupancy tax that comes from hotel occupancies throughout the county. And Highlands has a huge portion of that. I think about 60 or 70% of that tax comes from Highlands for the entire county. So they just based the distribution of the Airbnb on that percentage of room occupancy tax that they can trace where it comes from. So I think that was a fair way of distributing that tax, and that means that the chamber in promoting tourism will even have more money in the coming years to distribute the tax money toward promoting tourism.
Well, Mr. Mayor, you know, Airbnb is one of these businesses that they say has disrupted a certain industry. Uber is another one that disrupted the taxi industry. And then eventually what happens is, you know, legislation catches up with these things. They kind of start off in a bit of the Wild West, and then you see more and more regulation of these. What do you think the future is for Airbnb here in Highlands and here in North Carolina?
You know, Chris, that's a good question, and I get asked all the time, what are you going to do about Airbnb? What kind of regulations are you going to impose on this industry? There have been some communities like Asheville that have done so and created regulations. Some people would say that they've eliminated the short-term rental thing. You can't do that in a particular community, and that just drives that business outside the city limits. The counter argument is, and I think it's a good point, and we see it here in Highlands, and that is, if it's very profitable to do the short-term Airbnb, then the number of long-term rentals for workforce housing and so forth is eliminated. And that has happened here in Highlands, that you know, many people now are taking their house that they'd normally rent for a long-term, and they remodel and fix it up and put it on Airbnb, and they realize more money by doing that. So some people want us to have regulations, and we're looking at that, but we have not passed any kind of ordinance or regulation on Airbnb at this point in time. But I'm not saying that won't happen. We're just are studying the options, the pros and cons, and so forth. Meanwhile, the state legislature has introduced legislation. Some of the representatives have introduced legislations regulating Airbnb in North Carolina. And if that were to happen, if they pass a comprehensive statute throughout the whole state, it would preempt more than likely anything that a local municipality would pass. So I'm thinking that we might see the state take action with a statute that regulates all Airbnb throughout the state of North Carolina. If that were the case, they might put in a provision where the tax comes from has to be identified, so we can get a better understanding of how these occupancy taxes should be distributed to the communities. What I worry about is if it's a state requirement, they might have a statute provision where part of those taxes have to go to Raleigh. Mm-hmm. And that means they're not going to be coming back to Macon right. County and Highland. So I worry about that. I worry a lot about what the state of North Carolina is doing. I'll give you one example, and I can see both sides of the issue. There was a bill introduced in this session to require a bicycle to have a state tag for $10. It would exempt little kids, like my grandkids who are six, having to have a tag. But if you had an adult bicycle on the road, you'd have to have a tag. Now, as a bicycle enthusiast, I'm saying, come on now, state. Do we really need to be taxing people that want to get out and ride their bicycle on the street? Okay, that's one position. On the other hand, if they had a tax and the revenue would go toward building bike lanes and things like that, that might be a positive thing about a bicycle tag. Mm-hmm. But another possibility would be that they would just take that money, it'd go to Raleigh, and the legislature would spend it on anything they wanted to, road building, you know, schools, whatever, and we'd never see the benefit of it directly. So those are the kind of things that sometimes keep me up at night when I think about, you know, what are the possibilities. Just like a few years ago, they introduced a proposed redistribution of the sales tax to where they would send more money to counties that were struggling economically and take the money from the more prosperous communities. When that formula came out, it was like something like we'd lose $600,000 a year. And a lot of folks in communities where we thought we were going to lose tax money really started lobbying the representatives not to pass such a tax system. And they didn't. And they came up with a very fair and equitable way of distributing the sales tax. So that's something when you're watching the state legislature in action, all the communities and the counties, all the local government officials are always very interested in what's going to happen in Raleigh because it can affect the local pocketbook.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I know other communities are turning their eyes to Highlands as we continue along with our broadband project. I understand construction underway, and I know there's been some comparison recently between the pace of the project here in town and the recent completion and launch of a broadband project within the Calisadra Club. Really, we're not talking about apples and oranges. We're talking about like apples and starfruit here.
That's true. And congratulations to the Calisadra Club. But it is a different situation. Their community, they had some 230, you know, residences. They're all members of a club where they could all work together. And basically, I think their board decided to do this, assess each homeowner a fee for this, you know, this operation and construction of this broadband, and that's very efficient and works great. What's different with Highlands is we have to meet the needs of a cross-section of residents, and we have to have choices and options, and we can't just across the board assess everybody that lives in Highlands a fee to build that broadband system. We also have to go through a lot of government regulations. I've always talked about House Bill 129, that we spent several years making sure that we were in compliance with these state regulations. So it's been a slow process, and it's a process where we have to partner with a private provider who will actually be operating the network, and they will bring in businesses that will provide content and give customers choices. So it's taking time, but in June, I signed a contract agreement with the contractor to start building the broadband network, and they are underway. And that contract says that in about 300 days, it will be complete and it'll be up and running. So that's where we are. You'll see the contractor running the fiber optic throughout town in the coming weeks. And I really am excited about seeing this network, as they say, become lit up and online. So that's where we are. It's an exciting opportunity for the entire community.
Well, staying in the telecommunications field, I know the buzz among cell phone enthusiasts who want to get the latest and greatest is 5G. 5G is being rolled out in different places around the world, and a lot of people are wondering, will we be seeing that here in Western North Carolina?
And you know, Chris, I get a lot of questions about 5G, and some people say, oh, that will just negate the benefit of your broadband network, mm-hmm. and my response is, not at all. And I doubt that you're going to see 5G in Western Carolina anytime soon, and certainly not in isolated areas, and even Highlands is considered a small market. The problem with the 5G, they have to mount these units, these, if you will, mini cell towers on telephone poles, mm-hmm. utility poles here in the town, which they could do, but it's expensive, and the frequency that they use is only shot short distances. So they have to have one of these mini towers about every 400 or 350 feet or so. So it would take a complex network, which would be pretty expensive. So I don't see the 5G taking over this area with service anytime soon. I think that the broadband network, the fiber network, will, you know, be the thing that we will rely on for delivering high frequency, high quality broadband to all of our residents and businesses. And let me just put in one other plug. When we say broadband, you will really get a state-of-the-art broadband connection. We will have a hub, and you will have a fiber optic that will go right to your home, a dedicated fiber. That's why it's costing so much. Mm-hmm. But we haven't even determined how much broadband capacity can be delivered over a single strand of fiber. Also, you hear this, that you get so many megabytes up and down. And a lot of times you might get 25 megabytes up, but then the download speed is like 3. On our system, when we say you're going to get 25, or if you want 50 or 100 or whatever, it's both up and down. And that really facilitates real-time communication between, you know, residents and businesses and so forth. The other thing that I've been asked a lot is, well, what about satellite communications? What about satellite broadband? And in some remote areas, that is being used, but there are problems with that. One of the problems is the latency problem. You have to shoot a signal up to the satellite, and then it has to be shot back down to the receiver. That can be like 60,000 miles, and there's a tendency for there to be a latent delay in transmission, which becomes problematic. Plus, you have the problem of cloud cover and storm events that will disrupt the system. So again, I go back, the fiber optic network to me is the best solution for this community.
Well, we look forward to seeing that launch in, I guess, about less than 300 days now. And on that note, we will end this episode of Ask the Mayor. I thank Mayor Taylor for joining us this morning, and we both wish you a pleasant Sunday.